I want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed. Hey, soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week is part two of Matt Montaigne's interview continued. We jump in to me rambling. I had to make a minor correction because I kept on saying U15, not 2015. And in the beginning, you'll catch that. It's slightly audio difference. But that being said, Matt's message this week, I want you guys to focus on a few words. The big two are outcome and attitude. And it really hit me hard this week, so I would like you guys to pay attention to those two words. And I do have to apologize because I've noticed this more and more I've done this, and particularly in this episode, it is regarding, I asked a question, then I followed up with kind of an half an answer, and then I let him continue. And I do apologize, and I'll try to stay focused on that because I notice I've done it several times now. But let's start this chat and head to the pitch. I recommended a 2015
player to you. And I mean, but he was going, when I first met him, for his son to start playing at a young age and being going, because that's what he wanted to play. And he was starting to coach at the young age. What was it? He's a year younger than Landon. So he's not eight. So
yeah, 2015, seven. Right? He's a 2015.
So he's 7 years old.
Right.
When I first met him, and he was already getting private lessons as a keeper. And now I recommended you to him through Daniel, and because of Daniel. And what age do you recommend these parents start looking into it? I know it's not always economical for families, but clubs do offer some help. But when the clubs don't have much of an offer, what age do you recommend them going private?
Yeah, I mean, I think that just depends on each parent's goals and kid's goals independently. I mean, the kid you sent me, I won't mention names on here, but I mean, the kid's a stud. He's good. He's got the attitude. He's got the ethic. He can play. He can, I can see a bright future in this kid. So for him starting at 7, I think it's fine, because I could put him with my older kids and the older kids don't miss a beat, right? There's some other kids that you have to slow down. You got to teach them you really got to teach them the fundamentals, which is absolutely okay. But at that age, they need to be having fun. But I feel like these kids that you can already see the niche in them and you could tell that they're really wanting to take this to the next level. I mean, I think 7-year-old is great. It's just, you can't overload them, right? You got to give them bits and pieces of knowledge and just let them have fun, understand the game, build them up instead of breaking them down and just allow them, because there's very little great goalkeepers, in my opinion, very rare in the United States. And I feel like it's because what we were saying earlier, nobody likes getting yelled at. Nobody likes being the villain. Nobody likes, being told that they're not the greatest. But yet at 7 years old, like you're saying, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, we want, Manuel Neuer's already. And I hear it. Trust me, I hear it every day. Well, man, like they're just really bad with their feet, or man, they deflected this ball. Watch this ball. I'm like, dude, they're 10 years old. You're not getting Neuer. Are there some probably 10-year-old Neuers out there? Absolutely. Somewhere in the world. I haven't seen any, right? So we're putting so much pressure on a kid that already wants to play the position that by the time that they could be really good, right, they're really bad because they don't want to play the position anymore and they want to go score goals.
Right.
And so I think that really just depends on the kid. I don't think any age is too young. I mean, I think probably like 3 or 4 years ago, I had a kid that was 6 years old. And he was awesome. I mean, he was great, but we just did like 30, 40-minute sessions. And it was just, hey, do you like diving? Do you like, just introducing him to the world of goalkeeping. Like, you're going to get bumps. You're going to get bruises. You're going to do all these little things. But at the same time, he was playing on the field. He was doing futsal. He was playing indoor, right? So I really think the specialization is up to the player, but you can't get so sold on the specialization that you get left behind in the modern-day game soccer.
Right. I feel like it's the same way for a field player. It's like very few players I feel like should be just playing defenders or should only be playing midfielders or strikers. And I use my son example because I want him to be a well-rounded player. He's been given 3 different player profiles from 3 different coaches, and every single one is different because it's whatever role that coach put him in. He played defense. Yes, he played 2 years up. He played left back 2 years up, playing with a bunch of 2012s, and held his ground. But then you throw him in his own age group, he accelerates in midfield and being a wing. Mm-hmm. It depends on the coach. The coach and what they see him in.
And what level. And what age. What
level. Yeah. Yep. And it's amazing how easily, I feel like goalies get stuck worse than everyone else, just because no one wants to play that position. Like you said, everyone wants to score goals. Now, when a parent approaches a club, when they get to the club, it doesn't matter what level, how do they go? What advice would you give them to ask for goalie training? Because goalie training is becoming a more prevalent thing within the club.
Yeah. So, that's a hard question because I get so many kids from all the clubs in DFW. And the one thing they say is, each one of these clubs has like a director of goalkeeping, right? And those directors of goalkeeping are overseeing probably the best teams, right? From my experience and what I know, there's probably some that drop down and do a little bit less, but most of those directors are getting the top teams, the top players. You've got an MLS goalkeeper coach. Your MLS might do ECNL. Maybe you have an ECNL coach. And then it just kind of keeps tiering down, right? Well, if you keep tiering down, that means the pay to these goalkeeper coaches get less, correct? Which is inevitable, and you're going to get less knowledge. Well, you want the most knowledge at what level? The young level, right? As you get older, you just feed them a little bit more. You feed them a little bit more. And when they're at that top level, you can get, they have had all this knowledge built into their brain. And now you're tweaking and adding just little things as they get older. That's kind of my philosophy, but it just doesn't work that way, right? The best teams get the best goalkeeper coach is what I've noticed. And so what ends up happening is, and this is coming from parents that I've coached from 2007 to today, is they're not happy with those lower level coaches because they're just not good. You know, they're all happy with the, if they get the director or they get, you know, the ECNL coach or they get the MLS Next goalkeeper coach, right? They love it, but they don't get those guys on a weekly basis. And if they do get guys, they're canceling, right? Or they're not showing up. And so my suggestion to these parents would be ask the questions, look on the internet. Why is there a goalkeeper position open, right? Why am I here? Why am I being offered this? Is it because I'm good? Because I just beat out the other goalkeeper? Why did the goalkeeper leave? Or is it because, you know, like I would ask those questions. Do your research online. Social media right now is a crazy time in this world. You can pretty much find out anything from these kids' social media, like where they went, where are they leaving? They go to a better team. Did they go to the worst team? And you can message those parents and those kids, and you'd be surprised the answers you get, you know? And so to me, I would just ask the questions. Don't be scared as parents, because ultimately these people are in charge of your kids. I mean, I have a kid now. I told you I had him when I was 18, right out of high school, and he's 20 now playing college baseball. And we try to get him to understand, I mean, you have to learn how to talk to these people, but at a young age and ask the right questions. You're scared to ask those questions. So the parents need to advocate, especially in the goalkeeper role, because you have one job, you have one position, right? And everybody else has 10 positions that they can get put into at any point in the game, right? And so you're having to fight and ask the answers, and playing time isn't going to be the answer, right? I mean, you're not asking, oh, well, am I going to play every game? Am I playing halves? Like, yeah, those are typical questions you should already be asking. But the red flags, you need to find out who the goalkeeper director is. Reach out to the goalkeeper director. Pick his brain. Okay, well, who trains my 20, you know, the 2015 age group, right? Who trains the 28, you know, whoever, whatever the age is, who are they? Go do some research on that coach. Figure out who they are. Sometimes you get great ones. Sometimes you don't get great ones. But I will tell you this, a lot of the kids coming out of club, unless they are playing at the elite level, MLS Next, ECNL, True L, right? They're not getting it. And that's why they're seeking goalkeeper coaches like me, because they're just not getting it. And so they're paying all this money and they're not on the top team, which means they're getting second tier. I wouldn't say second. That's a hard way to say it. I would say lower education, lower coaching license coaches that haven't been doing it as long. And they're just not, they're not getting it. They're just not getting the goalkeeping that we need in the area or in the USA for that matter, you know? And so you always hear the success stories of all these kids playing MLS Next, right? They're going here, they're going there. Well, yeah, they're playing at the most elite level. They should be, right? But what about that ECNL RL kid? What about that Lake Highlands girl? What about that classic one boy? You know what I mean? What about that ECNL NTX? Where are they going? Those are the success stories, in my opinion, because those MLS Next kids should be going. They're getting the best of the best. They're getting the best knowledge, the best coaches, the highest, they're getting the highest level. They should be getting the ultimate look. But what about the rest of us? What about the rest of the kids that still have talent but aren't at that level, right? Those are the success stories, in my opinion. And those are where most of these players that I'm getting are coming from, you know, because they're not getting that level of coaching. So the solution to me is the parents really, 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 really got to ask questions, and they really have to understand where, you know, where their kid is going. What are the expectations? You know, what happens in these situations? What, I mean, just ask the questions.
Right.
Ask as many questions as you can, you know, to be comfortable. And at the end of the day, if you're comfortable and you know what you're getting into, well, then usually it's okay. But yeah, you definitely got to ask questions as a goalkeeper pair. Absolutely.
So now jumping forward a little bit in career. So you take Matt Turner, U.S. Men's National Team goalie.
Yep.
And I think his story is phenomenal because he didn't start playing goalie until later in his career of sports. And to be in the top 10 for like own goal as a goalie because the ball pops up and catches it and turns around and drops it in the goal. And hearing him talk about how he almost gave up playing soccer because of that, and how much mental strength it takes to be a goalie. Now, how do you advise parents to support their goalkeeper when they're down? Like you said, like your teammates would exclude you because their goal scored on you. How do you advise them and help them build the character they need to get through those moments?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where the parenting, right, comes into play big time. I mean, obviously, being a parent's never easy, especially when your kids are being excluded or not being involved in anything. And I think you just have to always tell your kids, hey, this is a game, right? It's gonna develop you for not just this game, right? It's gonna develop you in life. And it's hard for kids to understand that until they get older. But soccer is a love of a game. You're learning how to take constructive criticism. You're learning how to take the positive. You're learning how to take the negative. You're learning how to work on a team, right? And most jobs, all those things happen. And I think you just have to reiterate to the kids, this is a fun game. You are a kid. And you just have to learn from these experiences. Not everybody's going to like you and not everybody's going to love you. But at the end of the day, you still have friends. And I think getting friends outside of soccer and having a bunch of different, you know, people in different areas of life that maybe not they like soccer, but they don't play soccer is always a good outlet, because I have friends of all walks of life. And when my soccer buddies didn't want to hang out with me, well, I had baseball buddies, or I had my buddy, he's a neurologist right now. I'd go over to his house and we'd trade baseball cards, or, you know, he loves sports, but he was super smart. We all knew he was going to be a doctor, right? Or a lawyer or something. And it just kind of gave me an out, because my parents made me diversified and made me understand, hey, it's not always about soccer. You know, you can learn from everything and every example and everybody. And you just need to have friends that are in every walks of life, whether it's soccer, whether it's, you know, business. Like, give you an example. I mean, I started networking when I was younger, didn't even know I was doing it. And now people are helping me with business and stats and all these different things, you know, that you don't know you even like or need. All of a sudden you start reaching back out to those people. Hey man, you know, I need some help, right, in this area. Right. And so all those things that my parents taught me at a young age, you know, that's the time that those parents need to start helping their kids understand. This is not just today. This is for the rest of your life. This teaches you life goals. This teaches you failure. This teaches you success. Same thing, right? You take a test, right, in college or for a pilot's license and you fail it. Well, how are you going to handle that, right? The instructor might not like you, and you might be the best that there is. I mean, like you said, take Matt Turner, right? He is now our goalkeeper for the U.S. national team. He didn't start playing until he was 14. He was a walk-on, right? He was with JUCO to walk on to now look where he's at. If he didn't have the mentality, the determination, a good support system, he would never be where he was at today. The drive, the passion for the game. You know how many people told him no? You know?
A lot.
So, I mean, a lot. So if he took everybody's negative opinion, you know, it wouldn't work. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and they're pretty big in the sports world. And he told me, your emotion affects your attitude and your attitude affects your results. And I was like, wow, that actually kind of makes sense. You know? So if you let your emotions affect you, that's the outcome you're going to give. Well, obviously Matt Turner didn't allow that to happen. He took his actions and turned them into positives. And now look at him today. Now,
right,
were there some bumps in the road? Absolutely. But they're just bumps. So these parents of these goalkeepers, you just got to keep your kids' heads up and don't let it be so sports driven. There's more to that sport and your kid being on the field than just winning the game and hanging out with the friends. It's everything that happened in that game is preparing your kid for the next step in life, which to me is the ultimate goal, right? Whether you play college pro or you hang up the boots after high school, everything you learn in sports dictates how probably you're going to react in life, right?
Right.
Or how you react in team situations and emotions. And it all kind of molds you into a person. And that's not just for sports. That's in life and anything. I mean, you could be into robotics and learning how to build and engineer all these things. It's the same thing. Somebody's going to tell you you're not good at it, right? Well, how do you take that? I mean, I think it's 100% a mentality standpoint. And for these goalkeepers, and, you know, if you would have told me, hey, man, you need a sports psychologist back in the 90s and 2000s, as a parent, as my parent, I would tell my mom, why do I need a sports psych? My son has one right now, and it's not because he struggles. It's because it keeps his mind right, and they're good, you know. And I recommend all my keepers go see the sports psych that I use for my goalkeepers and for baseball. And let me tell you, I have seen a huge difference in all my goalkeepers and my own son included. And if you would have told me that I needed to go see a sports psych then, I would have laughed, you know. But there's so much more that they can do for you, and the knowledge they can do for you is unbelievable. And they say the same thing the parents are probably saying, but they give them a different outlook on it, and they spin it, and it's super positive. I mean, I gained stuff going to listen to him. His name is Dr. Scott Burkhart. He's amazing. And I just sit there and I listen. I don't say a word, but I'm like, oh man, that makes sense. Wow. You said the same thing I did, but in a different manner, and he got it. So sometimes it just takes another person basically telling you, you're okay, you're all right, keep your head up and keep moving down the road.
Yeah, I think that's, parents may say the same thing, but hearing it from not a coach, but a medical professional, sometimes changes the perspective of the player. You have a traumatic event and you go see it. People around you are saying the same thing, but it just takes that one person listening to give you a different angle or different criteria of being who they are. It changes the perspective of what they hear. And like you said, they may spin it a different way than us as parents may say it to the player. Angle, sports psychology. I mean, I know that all the big teams have them. I just found out that North Texas had just hired one for Team 2 for FC Dallas. I mean, to hear that that's becoming the norm in sports. I mean, I know in the baseball world, I know that I won't give out names, but he came in to be a psychologist, but he came in to talk and help players become better players on the field, on the diamond, and they went on one, I think the next year, I think after being there for a year and a half, they finally won the World Series.
Yeah.
And he was part of that equation, and he got recognition for it, he was a former baseball player himself, so he understood. And I think that's a huge thing that's missing in our today's world, because there is so much pressure to be this phenom athlete at a young age and continue being a phenomenal athlete. If you're not, you're excluded, even on your own team, even though you've made the cut, you give it your all when you're on the pitch. Having that extra voice there to help guide and give inspiration to these players is so key, and be the support that you might not get in a different angle. I mean, yeah, that's a whole new part of the game that's there now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it goes back to having that goalkeeper union, right? That team, that somebody, hey, man, you know, you had a game this weekend, but are you doing anything tonight? You know, you reach out to another goalkeeper that you train with, maybe. You know, you push them through it because they know what it's been like. Or you call your private goalkeeper coach, right? And you know, you could talk to them. Goalkeeping, you need a system, right? The older you get, the better it becomes because you learn how to navigate it. But that young age through high school, I mean, even in college, you know, it's emotional, right? And so what ends up happening is you just have to rely on some of that sports side. You got to rely on your parents. You rely on your goalkeeper unit. And then hopefully you can rely on your goalkeeper coach, right?
Right.
So, I mean, all that together, I think, prepares you for what is to come next.
Now, with all this knowledge you've already shared, so how does this apply now, shifting to what you offer? You run an academy, a goalkeepers academy, and what type of help do you offer starting off? So you bring them in, you do, what is your normal goalkeeper training like? I know that when I talked to Daniel, he said to you guys, when you guys run camps together or sessions together, he'll have his finishing part, and you guys will have his players at your goalies, getting them more touches and more opportunities to see different players. But what do you guys do? What do you do now outside of that then?
Yeah. So basically, depending on the age, we offer training for all age kids, basically. I basically bring them in. We do like an eval with them, kind of see where they're at in what age group or what level I'm going to put them in. But if, you know, if they're, you know, like we want to build all levels, right? Like I was saying earlier, it starts at a young age. So we basically do, I want to see them as much as possible. So we offer basically monthly packages, right? So you can come train with me as long as I'm on the field. I want to say we train Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday. So we train 5 times a week, right? There's obviously multiple training sessions in those hours. And if you can come to me and get training, or any goalkeeper coach at that matter, more times in a week, right, you're obviously going to get better. And so right. We want to see you as much as possible and as much as it allows you, your team allows you to be with us. So we just are trying to get our hands on these kids at whatever age they want to start and start prepping them for the next level. And so we just kind of basically give the angle, you know, show them how to do the footwork. We go through all the steps, but when they start getting to that college level or that high school level and they're like, hey, coach, I really want to play in college. This is where I feel like we separate a little bit from your normal average goalkeeper coach. Because what we offer is basically you're going to train with us unlimited just like everybody else. You're going to get exclusive training with college prep players and current college players. They have their own session. So they're not training with these younger kids that can't compete with them or don't have the dynamics or don't have whatever they need, right, to get pressed to that next level. If you have a college player training with a 10-year-old that can't play with their feet, you're not getting much out of that, right? Now, that little kid might be, but the college kid's not. So obviously we separate that, but we put them into the groups of kids that want to be there, and they get their own training session each week. Then they get a private lesson where it could be on the field. It could be a video session. They could do anything. We sit down and we analyze their videos once a month from all the goals they gave up, all the saves they gave up. So they know exactly how to fix those things. Was it a good goal? Were you out of position? Was everything right? Great. You made some good saves here, but you're breaking them down to build them up. But at the same time, they're learning. We also give them the connections to the college coaches, right? I mean, obviously Daniel and I coaching in the college world for all those years at ENT, we've made some connections, and we have those connections to reach out if we think you could play at that level, which sometimes that's all you need. It is somebody to call up on your behalf that has had a little bit of knowledge or you've met in the past and go, hey, I want you to take a look at this kid. Ultimately, it's up to you and the kid to make the connection, but we can get you in front of those kids. You know, we're not going to lie to you. We're not going to tell you can play D1 if you play D1 or if you can't play D1, right? We're going to put you where we think you can play. I mean, I think that's where we strive as well. We have to be honest with our parents. Hey, I just don't think your kid's a Power 5 kid. Do I think they can play D1? Possibly, but I think you should be looking here. It's ultimately up to those kids. We'll throw the arrows and the darts, but we don't lie. You know, we try to shoot them as straight as possible, and it's up to them to go make that connection. You know, I think too, where kids mess up is they don't know how to do their social media. These parents just don't know what to put out there. What videos are good, right? I'll see some of my like goalkeepers before we started doing this post a video that their parents thought were great. And I'm like, dude, your technique, like you have no top knee drive. Your eyes aren't on the ball. Your head's looking at the camera, you know, or however you want to call it. But it was a great save. I was like, but a good goalkeeper coach is going to be like, yeah, great save, but you got lucky, right? So all those videos have to be analyzed in the proper way before you put them out there. So we help with all that social media, the web guidance, you know, everything that's going to make you look like a pro, act like a pro, speak like a pro. We teach you all that, the mental approach. We put you in contact with all those people. We have access to medical and mental health specialists, right? They take insurance. They're linked to us. We have chiropractors. We have the sports psych. We have vision therapy training, right? I mean, there's so many things that help these goalkeepers understand the game and get through the game that aren't even offered. We offer it all together. We give them access to all these doctors and these coaches and these people that, if there is an issue, hey, guess what? We can get you tear your ACL. We can get you in, you know, ASAP to these doctors, right? Which is huge, because the quicker you get in to analyze what's going on, the quicker you can get into surgery, the quicker you can get into rehab, the quicker you're back on the pitch. And that just doesn't happen a lot. You see it. You'll wait 2 or 3 weeks to have surgery.
Yeah, and by then it has to be re-ripped and re-sewn back together. And you're even out even longer because the damage that was done the second time was just as bad as the first time, if not worse. And
exactly. And the last thing we kind of offer to those college prep kids is the customized periodization plan. every goalkeeper needs something different, right? And so what we do based on their curriculum is we see where they're at. We give them, if they can't get to me, right, for a week or 2 weeks, they have the plan on what they need to be doing at home in their hand for that month. We release it 1 month at a time, and it's custom to them. So they know, hey, I didn't go to mat today, but this is the what I need to be doing in footwork or handling or what video I need to be watching. And it's for that player specifically. And so I think when you combine all those things, even if you're not in the college prep, but you have access to those, I mean, that's a recipe for success, in my opinion. And there's, unless you play at the top level clubs here, you know, MLS for, I would say FC Dallas, you're probably not getting any of the access to any of those doctors. Right.
Right.
And so we kind of offer that pathway because it is, you need all that, right? At some point in time, you're going to need it. And so I think that's kind of where we separate a little bit is we encompass the complete goalkeeper in a way, right? We've figured out these are the steps. This is how we want to do it. And this is how we're going to get you there. And I think when you put all those things together with a kid that wants to do it and is dedicated and the parents understand, I think these kids go on to be very, very, very successful. And for the younger kids, we just put them on a monthly plan and we see them as much as possible until they get to that age where they go, hey, man, I just want to make high school. Okay, great. Well, you're ready for that. I mean, I had a kid about a year and a half ago say, hey, I just want to make my high school team, coach. And guess what? He made his high school team. So great. There's all different levels and we cater to all those levels because everybody's different. But we basically, they come in, we do their assessment, we put them in the right groups, we put them in the right training partners. And we just get after it. You know, we just train. You can't overtrain, in my opinion, goalkeeping, because training might not necessarily be on the field. It could be in a classroom. It could be with your sports psych. It could be with your vision therapy training, right? You're just beat up. You've got bruises. You got rashes. And you're just like, coach, I just can't do it today. Great. You're going to go see Dr. So-and-so, right? So
right.
That's your session for today. See you later. Have a good week. And all those things then resets that goalkeeper and that player. And they're back on the following week and they're ready to go. And all these services are offered to all of our players, but the college prep just gets a little bit more because you got to get a little bit more serious. There's a lot of competition out there. And so, right. You know, we kind of build these kids from, let's just call it, we'll say U10, you know, they're just on the monthly package and they come and train as much as they can. We train them the same way we train the other kids. It's just at what level, right? How much information do you give them? How many drills are you doing? What is the technique? You know, it's just a little bit slower. And as they get better and older, they move up until they're ready to decide, hey, where do I want to be? And then we just put them into that program. We offer all different levels of programs. It just depends on the age of the kid, what they're wanting to do, and where they're wanting to go.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. It is.
A lot.
I mean, like this year, I went on three visits with three of my college prep kids, and they all signed. So
I mean, that's impressive. And what would you say your success rate is from kids that are coming through that are actually on the serious path? Because I feel like there is a difference between a kid that wants to play goalkeeper and a kid that wants to be
just a high school.
Beyond.
Yeah. So like that's a great question. So obviously I started this in about 2019, right after I coached at UNC. So this, you know, the day I was done, I started picking up some kids and girls and boys in different areas because I had a lot more time. From 2019 to today, I'm 100% of putting kids into college that wanted to play in college.
That's unheard of.
Unheard of. And honestly, that's a number I don't even really talk about because honestly, you can't have a lot of kids, right, and do this. So I only offer some of this to certain kids. And obviously I've been doing this now since 2019. I'm growing, I'm building. And this year we're going to take on five new kids that are from the sophomore age to the senior age that really want to do this. And so it's going to be really, really fun. I've just kind of been doing it as part of our sessions, you know, and helping these kids get to where they need to be. And now I've seen it's a big niche. And like you said, I mean, being 100% is hard to do, but every senior that I've had that has wanted to play in college has gone off to play in college since 2019.
And because you are straight shooting with them, you're saying they could go to junior college, they can go to a D3 or D2 or D1, mm-hmm. because based on their profile and have and the word they're going to take. So that's really impressive. I mean,
yeah, and their grades, right? Their grades got to matter, right? All those things. Right. I say. knees and all that. You know, we look at all of that, right? We look at the keeper as a whole, and then we try to say, okay, what are your top 10 schools? You know,
right.
What are your middle 10? Do you want hot? Do you want cold? Like, some of these kids don't know that. So they got to go to ID camps to figure it out. But even at these ID camps, if a coach doesn't know you, unless you're just that one percenter, they're not looking at you unless somebody has called them and said, hey, you need to look at this kid, or hey, X, Y, and Z. Well, I just show up. You know, I shake the coach's hand if I don't know him. I let him know I'm coming prior. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it, but ultimately it's up to the kid and the coach to make the decision. We just have the platform to get them to the next level, and we only accept basically 5 kids a year into the program from sophomore age. Freshman, you don't really need it, but sophomore to senior, depending on where they're at, because there's a lot of kids, especially now with the transfer portal, right? They're not getting a lot of looks, and they're seniors, and they're good, and all they need is to get in front of a coach. Now, it might not be their number one school, but guess what? If their ultimate goal is to get an education and play soccer, well, maybe they're willing to take that risk now because they're a senior and they just want to keep continuing to grow their career.
Right. Now, looking at it from beyond college, have you had any players that had the aspiration to go from directly from high school? I shouldn't say high school, but being skipping college and going into the amateur level or pro level and yep. wanting to go that route, and have you had success there?
Yeah. So we, as a club, we put one player into the pros. It was actually a field player. My counterpart and I, we helped with that. But goalkeepers is really hard. So out of the kids that have gone to college, you know, most parents want their kids to go to college and get an education, right, is what we found out. So education in the school they choose is huge. The 3 kids that I've had that wanted to go play pro, they've had pro tryouts, they've made the team, they looked at the pay, they looked at their body, and basically said, I can make more doing my major. And they've kind of just said, forget soccer, and I want to make money, because they're beat up. The money's not great. The odds aren't great. And so they just kind of focus on their career path. But we've had 3 goalkeepers get tryouts, offered to tryouts. They've made the team, but ultimately decided once they saw their contract that it was more beneficial for them just to go into the career path. I got a girl right now. She's going to be a junior. She's had some offers, so she's pretty healthy as of right now. So we'll see how that goes. But I feel like to play soccer in the United States of America as a pro, it is very hard because you're competing with dual national players. You really got to play at the elite level. You got to be on those top 25 programs to even get a look. So if you're playing, you know, lower level soccer, can you make it? Absolutely, you can. It's just a long road. Look at Matt Turner. Can it happen?
Right.
Right. Look at Hope Solo, right? Same thing, goalkeeper later in life, and she was a phenomenal goalkeeper, right? So it can happen, but the odds of it happening are very rare, and I think these kids start to notice that the older they get. Now, let's be honest. Most of these kids are smart. They have a college education. They're ready to make money. They're beat up from the goalkeeper role, and it's just hard. So for us on the goalkeeper side, I just kind of leave it up to them, you know? And so to answer the question, have we put any in? We've put 1. 3 have had offers, and those 3 have declined to go on just because of money and injuries.
You really have to want to grind and
you do.
Make the sacrifice.
And if you're talking about $40,000 or a kid that can make $120,000, right, that's already kind of beat up from the 4 or 5 years of goalkeeping in college, right? You right. kind of I'm going to take the 120. You know? And that's kind of honestly what we've had. So the 3, like I said, the 3 kids, they've all actually said the same thing, boys and girls. They've all said the same thing.
Now, because you've had so much success, are you, and I'm looking at this just because I look at your business and being successful. Do you guys have the field side aspect at all? Or do you guys only do goalkeeping?
So I specifically just focus on goalkeeping right now. A few years ago, we started the striker side, and that's how we were able to put one of those kids into the pros. He was a pro, came back home. We kind of helped mainly navigate him to get him basically back into the system, and the rest was on him. But the striker side, it just seems to be a lot harder. There's a lot more coaches out there, and they can get some of this on their own just because there's more – it's not so specialized, I guess. So we tried it. It didn't work out too great for us. And so I personally have just gone strictly doing goalkeepers, no clubs, no, you know, I work, like I said, for one club only, but the rest of my stuff is 100% goalkeeping. And so I just think there's a niche, there's a specialty, and these are actually the kids that need the most help because they're battling for one position, not 10 positions.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole world's fascinating. And like I said, my son's 9, so this is all new. And this is why I'm doing this, is because I don't have the understanding. I don't have knowledge. And parents that are entering into this world, I'm assuming, are in the same boat that I am, because it's ever evolving. I feel like every 3 to 4 years, this club soccer world is evolving at a faster pace.
100%. America's soccer and our U.S. soccer is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger every year.
And it's what was acceptable just 10 years ago is unacceptable now
for Correct.
Standards. And as I was told, like, you can be the biggest, fastest player on the field 10 years ago, and you probably would have got a D1 scholarship, or you were offered a D1 scholarship because the athleticism was there to make it easier for them to compete. But now you need the foot skills. You need the mental game of it. And so it's amazing how much it's evolved. And I forgot to ask this earlier. We were talking about the psychology side of the sport. When you're looking at goalies, going back to your recruiting days, possibly, I don't know how much, I know that's what Daniel did. I'm assuming you were part of that process too. Would you guys go look at a goalie that would be shot at 100 times and I'm not on the strongest team when recruiting? Or would you guys actually go to only look at the higher levels?
Yeah, so I was a little bit different in that regard. So my job basically was defenders and goalkeepers, right? Because I wanted to have, like, in order to make a good goalkeeper, you got to have good defense, right? In order to have a good defense, you need a good goalkeeper behind you. And that kind of was always my formula when we were trying to piece together what was going to be in front of whichever goalkeeper we had that year, right? Or who they're going to be, or who they're going to be in front of. And for me, you can go to 5 games and never see a goalkeeper touch a ball. Right.
Right.
So it's really hard to recruit. So my methodology was, I'm going to watch your warm up. You know, did you get to the field an hour early? Did you get your stretching? I'm watching from the time that kid gets out of the car to the time they finish their warm up. I want to see what they did, how they interacted with the team. Were they ready? Were they prepared? What was their warm up? Was it a parent kicking the ball? Was it a coach kicking the ball? Or was it the two goalkeepers actually had an idea? Right. I mean, that shows you a lot. Can they move their feet? How do they move? If all those boxes were checked, then I'd watch a game or a half. And then I'd come back and watch another half. Then I'd come back and watch another half. And then I'd watch film. And by the time I compiled all that together, I knew what I was getting. And so I really think warm-ups are huge for goalkeepers, because you don't get to see a lot of – you send us the film. We know their highlights. We see the good. We can see maybe the bad if you put it in there. But your warm-up can tell me a lot about you. And how you move, how you handle the ball, your body positioning, how you interact with your team. And if you check those boxes, I'm coming to watch your game several times. And once I see what I need to see, I'm either in or I'm out. And it's really that easy for me. Now, other people, I've heard the same thing. They watch warm-ups. Other coaches warm-ups. Some people will come watch 2 halves. But a lot of times, the keepers, the coaches that are recruiting goalkeepers, they're only going to see you play a half unless you just spark their interest, and then they'll come watch another game, and then they'll start digging a little bit deeper. They'll call your coach. You know, every coach has their own formula, but I really like to recruit based on from the time they get out of the car to the time they hit that field to the time they end their warm up. I've got a pretty good clarity of what that goalkeeper is.
I mean, that's a lot of mental. That's mostly mental right there. I mean, like you said, it's 90% mental and 10% physical. I mean, if you see how they're mentally preparing, I mean, I guess you know what you're talking about, because to me, you're the subject matter expert in this. So that's really good to hear. Good to know.
Yeah, I mean, And, you know, it's, you know, obviously you can get a keeper in a game that, you know, just does drills well and doesn't handle, you know, the game well and doesn't dictate well, but that's very rare. You know, if you see a keeper show up on time or early, kind of doing their own thing, they've got a good warm-up, they have a, you know, it's not just mom or dad or somebody just kicking a ball at them, you know, they're not just staying in there, you know, there's a difference, right?
Right.
So now you've piqued my interest. Now you've got me for a half. Let's see what you do in this half. Well, you didn't catch anything or nothing really came your way. Fine. Great. I walk off. I watch another game, but guess what? I'm coming back. I'm going to find this kid again because now you've piqued my interest.
so crazy. So I could go on for this for hours on this. Who was your greatest influence as a player? It could be parents, a player, it could be a coach. And who is your who has been your greatest influence as a coach then?
Okay. So as a player, I always looked up to like Tony Meola and Oliver Kahn. They were like the greatest goalkeepers to me back in that generation when I first started playing. And I just always wanted to be like those guys. I mean, they were big, they were strong, they were long, you know, and Meola, you take Meola, he wasn't your average goalkeeper. I mean, they actually created some footwork drills that were called the Meolas because his feet were so slow. Like he was a great goalkeeper, but his feet were so slow. And he just, man, he just defined odds. He wasn't your prototypical goalkeeper. And he just kind of inspired me watching him play to be like, man, I can do this. I can really do this. And the older I got, I found a goalkeeper coach. He was out of Florida. His name's Mike Potier. He's probably one of the greatest goalkeeper coaches I ever had. And I learned a tremendous amount of goalkeeping from him. And he actually has coached Ashlyn Harris, Tim Howard, and Hope Solo privately. And so I was getting really good knowledge, and he just kind of put all that knowledge onto me. So a lot of my coaching success, to be honest with you, comes from the number one camp system and all those guys. I mean, the Andrulises are great mentors to me to this day. Rob and Greg Andrulis and Mike Potier and Dr. Joe and all those guys, they have honestly, from the time I was a camper at the age of 12 to today, I'm 39. They've believed in me and they've helped me and I've learned and I learned and I learned. And a lot of those guys still coach for and are involved in U.S. soccer to this day. You know, Greg's a U.S. scout. Rob is still coaching and my coaches, you know, still privately with all those great goalkeepers. And it's just the knowledge base that I've got from these guys is huge. I mean, Brad Friedel came out of this program. Dick Raimondo came out of this program. So I've got some really good mentors on the coaching side right now and really through my whole career that have kind of kept me on the straight and narrow. And if I ever felt like I was getting sideways, they were always my first phone calls and they still are to this day. And so I think just them and seeing their coaching style and their success really kind of molded me to understand what it takes to be a good goalkeeper, a modern day goalkeeper, and a leader on.
Hello guys, this episode with Matt really struck me because I've listened to it probably more than any other episode I've recorded, mostly because we covered so much and he talked about the thing that struck the core to me the most was when he said, your emotions affects your attitude and your attitude affects your results. As a parent, hearing that, my emotion as a parent affects my child. My child then emotions affect his attitudes and his attitude affects his results. And as I've been reflecting more and more on that sentence from Matt and then re-listening to everything that he's talked about from start to finish now, it really puts in what he's trying to accomplish in his academy. And the other big thing that he talked about through all this, and I didn't catch it when we were interviewing, was his goalie union and the importance of this. And it didn't really click with me until I had a conversation with someone later on about his academy and the importance of this. Remember, your goalie is kind of in their own little world when they're part of this team. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of physical and mental toll on them to accomplish what they do. And as we move forward as parents, no matter what position your kid plays, remember that your goalie is the last line of defense. That means depending on whatever age group you're playing, it is 6, 8, or 10 other people failed to stop the ball. And now he has that goalie. That player now has to cover that 8 feet by 24 foot part of the field by themselves. Yes, angles can change things and all that fun stuff, but remember to encourage the goalie. Remember to encourage the other goalies out there. Give praises where they're deserved. Now, I'm not trying to be a parent that's harping and or a host that's trying to tell you guys what to do, but remember those great moments and that us as parents, our emotions do affect our kids. Our emotions do affect their results at the end of the day. So let's be that supportive parents. Let's be those parents of why I really started this, to educate and to be better. Until next time, see you at the pitch.